Now that the Paris Olympics are over, the Olympic torch passes eventually to Los Angeles for hosting the Summer Games in 2028, which means LA has to prepare. Laurel Wamsley covers cities for NPR and is covering LA's preparations for the Games. Laurel, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Okay, my first thought is, it's stereotypical, I know, but somebody's going to miss the high jump while stuck in traffic on I-5. So how does LA prevent gridlock?
Well, their plan is to be car-free.
What?
That's because, yep, that's what they're saying. That's because there's going to be a security zone, and people's cars aren't going to be allowed in. There's also not going to be anywhere to park at a lot of the venues. Los Angeles's mayor, Karen Bass, and other 2028 organizers were in Paris during the games there. They were learning and observing how that city was moving people around. For LA to pull this off, it needs to expand its public transit. And Bass said Saturday in Paris that that is happening.
In order for us to have a no-car games, and that's a feat in Los Angeles because we've always been in love with our cars.
The plan is more trains, more buses, and bus-only lanes.
Okay, how do they pay for all that?
Well, city leaders say this Olympics is a chance to make Los Angeles better for the long run and not saddle it with stuff it doesn't need. So that means new train lines, but no new permanent arenas. LA, of course, already has huge stadiums and other venues that can host big crowds. And actually, using existing venues was part of the city's bid 7 years ago to show that hosting an Olympics can be more sustainable.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, the first Olympics that I really remember, well, one of the first Olympics I really remember paying attention to would be the 1984 Olympics because they were in America. They were in Los Angeles. How did it go then?
It actually went pretty well. An LA Times reporter at the time called it automotive nirvana. The city supersized its bus system back then. It borrowed hundreds of buses from other cities. It designated bus-only lanes. They set up these park-and-ride centers for spectators to take shuttle buses to the events. And the city also had businesses stagger workers' schedule to reduce rush hour traffic. And those games back in 84 were one of the highest periods of transit ridership in the city's history. That's according to Salita Reynolds, who's with Los Angeles Metro, which runs the city's trains and buses. And back then, the city didn't have subways.
And now we've built out miles and miles of light rail and subway. We're going to be opening a new rail line in LA County every year between now and the Olympic Games.
Okay, I got to tell you, I was in LA in the spring, saw construction everywhere, and people kept saying, yeah, we're getting ready for 2028, but is it realistic to be ready by 2028?
Well, yeah, as you saw, things are definitely happening. Metro has more than 100 rail stations now. There's a new light rail line opened last year that runs almost 50 miles from East LA to Long Beach, where some of the events are going to be held. The airport, LAX, will be launching a people mover, an automated train that'll carry visitors to the metro. And buses are going to be huge once again. They plan to borrow thousands of them. And also, we're just in the era of remote work now. So the plan is to have the people who can work from home during those 17 days of the Olympics. If all this works and the project stays on budget, you know, but we'll have to see.
Any advice for people who are thinking, man, I want to go to LA. I want to see the Olympics.
I think good advice would be to plan ahead and have a strategy. You know, the events are going to be not just in LA, but other cities like Carson and Long Beach. So visitors might want to think about the events they want to stay most and stay near there, or look for an area that's hosting several events and explore the neighborhoods around there.
That's NPR's Laurel Wamsley. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.